Good to be at Union Church again, and we certainly thank the Lord for this day, the day that the Lord has made, and we come and rejoice, and we're totally glad in it. And just, it is a blessing to be in the house of the Lord, and we always enjoy coming to be here because he's a part of Union Church. Has been my home, and it's always, you know, when you're away from things, it's always good to go back sometimes. And but here, when you walk in and see the transformation of the building, you know, I can remember back in the day, it would upset a lot of folks that you'd move some benches around. But you know, the Spirit of the Lord can still fill this place, and that's what I trust that he'll do this morning. When I was thinking this subject, I hadn't thought about it being Memorial Day weekend, but I think it fits pretty well. But it is the subject of honor. Because honor today is not merely laughed at, it's mocked, it's ridiculed, and it's despised. You know, dignity and respect is just fading away this day and time. And honor is attacked by this world on every aspect of our lives. It's attacked in the world. It's attacked in our churches. It's attacked in our families. And there's more dishonor this day and time than there is honor. And you'd think, well, the opposite of this would be dishonor, but it's not dishonor, but it is shame. And that's what the opposite of honor is today, is shame. And we want to look at this subject and see what the Bible has to say about honor. I've heard more of the word honor used this week than I have since Veterans Day or maybe the 4th of July, because the word honor is just not spoke of. But I want to tell you what the Bible says about honor. And the word honor and the subject of honor is very prominent in God's word, because God commands us to honor certain people. And that's what we want to begin with. And if you have your Bibles, you want to turn with me, because, see, first and foremost, God commands us to honor people, but before that, he wants us to honor him. And we're here this morning to honor him, and we will look at that just in a few minutes. But in Revelation 4 and verse number 10, says, the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and all things. And for thy pleasure, they are and were created. So first and foremost, we're to honor God. And when we look at these other things, when you honor certain people, when God commands us to honor people, you're honoring God. And the first one that we want to look at, and we'll look at it in now to start with, and maybe as we go into this subject even further, is to see that in our Ten Commandments, we see the one over there says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord God giveth thee. You're to honor your mom and daddies. Even if your mom and daddies are gone, you still to honor them. Because when you're honoring them, you're honoring your God. And that's what he's telling us. And then here's one that came to me just 2 Sundays ago when I was here and preaching. And I thought I had exhausted this subject out pretty good. But over in Matthew 15, we read over there that the Lord Jesus is using this same commandment in Matthew number 15. In verse number 1, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do the disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said unto them, "Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" So, see, we can get stuck in traditions on both sides of that road. And we need to see what the tradition of the Bible is, where he says to honor our fathers and our mothers. This is the first commandment with promise, as Paul told the church at Ephesus. But Jesus is telling these religionists of the day, he says over here, "But God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother. He that curses father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah the prophet prophecy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." You know, one of my daddy's favorite sayings, and most of you remember this one, he says, you know, it's all right to tell somebody you love them, but when you show them that you love them, it means a whole lot more. And there's a lot of people who say, well, I love God, and they say it with their lips, but they're not showing it with their heart. And he says, honor your father and mother. And when you do that, you're honoring God, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now another group of people that God commands us to honor is found in Leviticus 19 and 32. "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God, I am the Lord." Now, the hoary head just means a white head. Now, there's a lot of you folks here, I remember before you had white hair. And some of us, I remember when we had hair. But he says here, he gives us a commandment to honor. He says, "Thou shalt rise up before the white heads, the hoary heads, and honor the face of the old men, the old women, and fear thy God, I am the Lord." And when you do this to those that has served the Lord with their heart and with their minds and with their souls and with their feet, you need to rise up and give them honor. And even in the book of Proverbs says, "A hoary head is a crown unto them that live in righteousness." It's a crown. And the only crowns that we're going to wear is while we live here on this earth. Because we already read over there, when they got before Jesus, they cast all their crowns. They're not going to be, if there is going to be crowns in heaven, all the redeemed are going to have the same kind. But I don't think there's anybody going to have a crown in heaven, because he said, we go before that king, we go before Jesus, we're going to cast all them before him. But he says, while we live, a hoary head is a crown to them that live in righteousness. So we see that God tells us to honor people. Now in First Peter chapter 2 and 17, He says, honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Now, this one covers a lot of folks right here. Honor all men. Well, if we take it in the context that he's talking about over here, he's talking about those that are in the Lord, to honor them, honoring all men. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. You know, we're supposed to honor our people that are in office. And that's hard to do sometimes, especially if you're not of the same political mind. But we're to honor those people that are over us. And that's hard. He says, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. Even we that work for people, we're to honor them as employees to employers. And if you are an employer, you need to honor your God by showing the respect and honor to your employees. See, this works always when he's talking about honoring all men. And then Paul tells Timothy, he said, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Now those are the people that God has commanded us to honor. Now there's institutions that God has given us, if that's the right word, but he's telling us to honor people. He's telling us now to honor other things. And if you want to turn with me over to Isaiah 58:13, we're going to get one verse there. Isaiah 58:13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. We're to honor the Lord's day. And I'm glad we're not under the Sabbath. Now, y'all reading through Leviticus, and y'all go through those requirements that was in Leviticus. Hey, some of them, I'm glad that we're not under those things. Because if we were, none of us, if we were still under the Sabbath law, none of us could have got here this morning. Because we'd had to travel too far. We'd had a light of fire. You couldn't have cranked your engine on your vehicle. But he says here, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath day. But we have the Lord's day. We celebrate the Lord's resurrection every Sunday when we come out, and we're to honor that day. And when you honor the Lord's day, you're honoring God from doing your pleasure on my holy day. Now I can remember, and a lot of you can remember too, and that if you needed to get something on Sunday, you better get it on Saturday, because the old time blue laws, everything was closed on Sunday. And, you know, the way we travel, and even the way we travel to churches, I'm glad that that's not the case anymore. But see, even that can be abused. But he says, don't turn away your foot from the Lord's day, the day that he has set aside, one day of the week, from doing your pleasure on his day. and calling the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. So the church that God has organized, he has built, he's established, and he's the one that we're to come and honor this morning by your presence. You're giving honor to God by showing up here today. And the next one we want to look at is found in Hebrews 13:4, where it says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. So we see that we're to honor God, we're to honor men, we're to honor the Lord's day, we're to honor marriage. And he even makes it specific, marriage is honorable in all. So we see that when we looked at how this day and time that we live in, that honor is so abused, it's laughed at, it's mocked, it's despised, and dignity and respect to the institutions of God is fading away. Church is not important to a lot of people. I guess one of the things I've heard excuses and I've heard reasons why people don't come to church. But the one that got me more than any of them was, well, I'll be at church next Sunday if I don't have anything else to do. Told me that. And I'm sitting there, what do you say? I mean, what do you say anything? And I couldn't say nothing. And our churches are being attacked in this way. Marriage is being attacked, and it's dishonorable today. And that's why that when we honor Christ, and the opposite of honor is shame, in Hebrews 12:2 says that Jesus Christ despised the shame of the cross. When he went to the cross, that was a shame. That was dishonor. And he despised the shame. And he is set down on the right hand of God because he is a risen Savior today. And you honor him with your presence. Christ was made an open shame. 2 Corinthians 5 says, he was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of Christ, righteousness of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That shame that Jesus went to the cross was all the shame of our sins. What happened to Adam and Eve in the garden after they had sinned and disobeyed the commandment of God? They sold themselves fig leaves. And they tried to hide from God, and God came to them in the cool of the morning and said, "Where art thou?" Like he didn't know where he was at. He knew exactly where they was at. "And why are you hiding yourself from me?" Why? It was a shame of what they did. When they sinned against God, they brought God to an open shame. 1 Peter 2 says, "By his stripes ye were healed." Isaiah says, "By his stripes ye are healed." Just as it had already happened. Jesus became poor that we might be made rich. In 2 Corinthians 8:9. And then in Revelations 1:6, You were made kings and priests unto God, that you are to bring spiritual sacrifices unto the Lord, which Paul says is our reasonable service. See, our service to the Lord is never unreasonable. But we see in these things that if we do turn our foot away from the Lord's day, if we do dishonor marriage, we see that how that it has brought God's institutions that he established to shame. 1 Thessalonians 4:1. We want to read. First Thessalonians 4:1 says, furthermore, then we beseech you. That word beseech means to beg, to encourage, and even to demand if it goes to that point. But he says, I beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know that you... For ye know what commandment we have you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. See, we need to know how to possess our vessels. That's what we live in. This is our vessel. We've been, as the Bible says, we've been fashioned as clay. We've been called clay pots. And all of us have cracks in it. And he says here, we need to know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanliness, but unto holiness. So we even see that this is even brought to mind to the young preacher Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And this one verse, it's been used so many times, says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his. But let's go on and read what he says in the latter part of these verses. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood, of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If any man therefore purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So we need to possess our vessels as vessels of gold and silver. You know, all of us has stuff. And I know when we try to get rid of stuff, and even Brother Fred's even shared some of that stuff. You know, when you move from one place to another, that's where you learn where you've got stuff. And some of it we want to hold on to. And a lot of it we just need to get rid of. But he says, I want you to occupy this vessel that God has purchased. He's purchased our bodies. When Christ died on the cross, he redeemed these bodies. And we know that by the resurrection. because he is the first fruits of them that slept. And he was the first fruits because under the law of first fruits, and I don't know if y'all have got to that part in Leviticus or not, but when you learn that law of first fruits, you know that they were to give a sacrifice of the very first of their crops. And if they did that, it would guarantee the rest of the crop. Jesus Christ was the first fruits of them that slept, that he would guarantee that all that he died for would be in glory one day. But when Jesus purchased, he purchased the soul, the body, and then the spirit that he give us returns back to him. But he's coming back to get this body. And I'm glad. Because the Bible says that we're going to be sown in corruption, but we're going to be raised in incorruption. We're going to be sown a natural body, but we're going to be raised a spiritual body. And he says, behold, I show you a mystery. This is what is so mysterious, that we're going to go back to the earth from which we came, from the clay and the dust that we were formed out of. And he bought this body because it cost him his life. And our bodies are important to the Lord Jesus. And that's why we're to treat our vessels as vessels of honor. And that's why that he's telling us, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. If any man therefore purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, set aside for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that are called on the Lord, that them that are called on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. So in our honoring of the Lord, we're to honor even our own vessels. And how that when we bring things to shame, we need to repent and change and do what he is telling us, that in this great house. And he tells us exactly how to do these things. Purging is hard. I'm not going to try to deny it. It's hard. But he told us to honor the institution of the church, the Lord's Day. We're to honor marriage, which has been brought to a total shame in this day and time. See, marriage has been redefined. Genesis 2:24 says, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. When God ordained marriage, he ordained it between one man and one woman, married, living together the rest of their lives. And that's been brought to an open shame in our world that we live in. See, marriage is not a church ordinance. You know, we think it is. But if there's a couple, they can get justice married by going down here to the courthouse and getting a justice of the peace to marry them if it, me or Brother Marty married them. They're justice married in the legal terms of our nation. So marriage is not a church ordinance. Marriage is a creation mandate. God designed it. God implemented it for all mankind. Jesus says, leave and cleave. Marriage is to be held in honor in all. Honoring our parents again. The word honor that we see in the Ten Commandments in the Hebrew has the definition of weight or heaviness. You ever heard that term that person carries weight? That saying carries weight. Well, this carries weight, folks. We have the first four commandments that we're to love the Lord our God. We're not to have any type of idols. And then he says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And then he says, honor your father and your mother. Why? Because this carries weight, folks. And you honoring God. And you learn to love God by learning to love your parents. Because in Ephesians chapter number 6, he says over there, well, let me just turn on. If I quote at it, I'd rather. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So we see that how that when we profess God, we love Him, and we do the things that is honorable, we see that we're vessels of honor. We've been meet for the Master's use. And how that we, and I'm saying we've changed a lot in my lifetime. And we've got away from God's Word. And we need to stay in God's Word. And in Romans chapter number 1, we see that how that things have been brought to an open shame, that it was an open shame when Paul wrote to the church at Rome. And Paul was writing to the believers at Rome. And he says over here in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 22, he says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of an uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. See, we need to honor our vessels. We only got one body. And an old saying is, and I'm finally starting to realize it, you know, getting old ain't all it cracked up to be. A lot more doctor visits we have to go to. A lot more money we have to pay out. A lot more pains and discomforts we have. So we need to take better care of our bodies. But even in that, this day and time, you know, that ditch on both sides of the road, you know, they changed the glory of God into uncorruptible. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image like corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. See, he starts this out over here in verse number 20. He said, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." I mean, we can just look out the window and see God's creation. I like to look at God's creation. But see, we worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, and it's been brought to a shame by doing so. Now, I think we ought to take care of this globe that we live on better than what we do. Because I'm most people that's my age, you know, when back in the day when we all used to change our own oil, and we just go down to the ditch and dump it in the ditch, and you know, I wouldn't do that now. I didn't know back then. Just even that right there is not good. I think we ought to take better care of the globe than this earth that we live on. But see, that's become a religion. And they worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, even in that. And I know what it is to love your pets. Ooh, how hard that is. But see, we worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. And I mean, and the Apostle Paul's dealing with this head on right here. "And for this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. Even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust, one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind." See, God's talking to children of God right here. Because you don't give somebody that's reprobate over to a reprobate mind. He's talking about children of God that has progressively fell into sin. And we think, well, those that you just got through talking about doesn't affect me. Okay, let's read on. Because there's some listed here that's going to get me and all of us. "Being filled with that unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy." I hope that, see, that kind of gets me sometimes where we envy somebody else and what somebody else has, and that gets into covetousness. Murder, I hadn't done that, but I guess I've said harsh words to people before. And Jesus said, we didn't say harsh words, it's kind of like stabbing somebody in the heart. Debate, deceit, malignity, whispers. We ain't never talked behind nobody's back, have we? Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. We're to honor our fathers and mothers. And parents are to bring up their children, nurture the admonition of the Lord. And when children, See, children has to be taught to honor parents. And I know this has been said before, but you see that a lot. Just wait till the next time you go into Walmart. And some child is dishonoring their parents when they're not being obedient. Well, were they taught obedience? Now, all of you here knows my four children, and I didn't have to teach them to be disobedient, because they got that natural from their daddy. But I did have to teach them to be obedient. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them, that they try to get other people to go along with them. So these things covers the whole spectrum of dishonor. And the three things that we see that God created and instituted in the garden is being brought to shame more than anything. One man, one woman married the rest of their lives. Being fruitful and multiply, having children. And as I spoke to you the last time that I was here on how that we love children, but how that children are being killed, murdered in abortion day after day after day. And if you don't think people are putting God to open shame, you're not opening your eyes up to the laws that's been passed in Georgia and Alabama and Missouri. That some people are now finally taking a stand against the shame of killing unborn babies. And honoring the day that's set aside to worship the Lord. Those three things were established before the fall. Be fruitful and multiply, marriage, and the Sabbath day, or the Lord's day today. And they're being dishonored and brought to shame, those three things, more than anything. See, God has a sense of value, carrying that weight, a sense of price, a sense of quality, not quantity, quality. And then the last one, Paul tells the church through the young preacher Timothy to honor widows and to honor widows indeed. And then he defines what a widow indeed is. And the church is to do that. If there's a widow of this church that doesn't have children or nephews, it's the church's responsibility to honor that woman and to take care of that woman. And he tells the church to honor widows indeed, because this was during a day and a time and a culture that did not honor widows. And he says to the church, this is your job, your responsibility to do that. But he says, most of all, honor God. And when you do all these things, you're honoring God. What does it say in Matthew 25? If you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And if you've done it unto the least of these people of showing honor, you're giving honor to God. We appreciate the time to be here with you this morning, and We certainly beg and interest in your prayers, and certainly we love you and appreciate you for Christ's sake.